you're doing? Good to see you. Do you know what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to move my computer so that my big light that I have in front of me isn't shining on the pictures behind me. It's very annoying whenever that happens, but I can't do anything about it. So you're just going to have to look at the light shining in the picture behind me. And I should have put a wee bit of powder on. It's not like a wee bit less shiny. I haven't really made much of an effort today. I'm really sorry, girls. I was training in the gym this morning. I was training legs with my trainer, Mark Getty, who many of you will know, who is a bit of a beast. And I actually didn't go super hard today on legs because I've been training by myself at home for the last while because I've just been so busy. And I haven't been able to get over to train with Mark. Still been training very, very, very hard. But the exercises that we do with Mark are very different to the exercises I do at home. And I knew that I was going to be completely destroyed if I did my full leg day. So I said to Mark, don't let me go to my full jacked weights. Just let me take it a bit easy today. And he did, which was nice. So I was training legs and I should have actually put on like a wee bit of powder afterwards. And I'm really sorry that I didn't, but I was so excited to be here to see you all again today. Oh, and for those of you who are in VIP, oh, we have a very special treat for you tomorrow. So tomorrow, Wednesday, in the VIP Zoom call, Mark is going to join me in the VIP Zoom call and we are going to do a live Q&A together. We have not done a live Q&A together in a long time. And those of you who watched EBM TV, Extreme Body Makeover TV, from our last 6 month Extreme Body Makeover Challenge will know that when Mark and I get together, it can be quite hilarious. The two of us are like, we are so similar in terms of our sense of humor and how we get on. I just adore Mark. Everybody adores Mark. He's like this big, massive, gentle giant. Like, he really is phenomenal. So anyway, Mark and I are going to be live tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. UK time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern time, which is 2 p.m. Central time, or midday Pacific time. I think it's 5 a.m. Australia, Brisbane time. What other times have I got off the top of my head? I think that's all I've got off the top of my head. So we're going to be live tomorrow right inside the VIP customer hub. The link is in there to join the Zoom call. We're going, obviously, I have a Zoom call as well in 3 hours with you guys in VIP. And if you're not in VIP, you're missing out. Like, it really is amazing. And that's why I keep seeing all these posts in the group and people saying like, I can't find the lives and I can't find the masterclasses and I can't find the workouts. And I'm like, this is why I created a $39 VIP. And I know. Some people are like, well, Kim, $39 is actually a lot of money to me. And I get it. I totally get it. But that's why I created a VIP hub where you could literally just access all of your recordings and everything and keep access to them forever. You didn't have to go looking for anything. But anyway, I'm just chatting for a minute while everybody gets on before we start. Facebook hates me. Facebook has limited me. I cannot comment from any of my business pages. I cannot comment from my personal page. I haven't commented on anything in 7 hours and Facebook still wouldn't let me comment this afternoon. It thinks I'm a bot because I type very fast. I'm commenting very fast. And this happens during every single challenge, except that it normally lets me go onto the business page and comment from the business page. But it's now decided to also limit me from both of my business pages. So if you don't see me commenting very much in the groups, that's why, because Facebook won't let me comment. It's not that I'm there. I'm not there. I'm trying to comment. I'm trying to give you love and encouragement as much as I possibly can. And Facebook is literally hampering my ability to love you. It's trying to keep love from you. That's what it's trying to do. So I think that we should all start a campaign against Facebook, a hate campaign against Facebook. Really need to figure out a different platform to run these challenges. I really do. I think in future we might just run them inside the VIP hub. We could actually just run them on YouTube. We could just run the videos on YouTube, but then we wouldn't have a place where we could all chat and upload photos. Anyway, I'll figure it out in future. I'm actually building my own business. I'm building my own, like, OnlyFitness. I'm building my own app. We're all branded OnlyFitness today. OnlyFitness, the world's first social marketplace for the fitness industry, is launching this year. It's been 2 years in the making. I've been financially raping my company to build this app from scratch. Haven't hired a company to do it. I've actually got an in-house team of designers building it. It's been phenomenal. And I think that we're going to be able to use the groups function that we've built in that app in future. So Facebook will not be able to restrict us anymore. But anyway, so what have we got today? Let me just add the, we're still loads of people joining. I always like to chat just for a minute or two, just to let everybody get on before I start. So what have we got today? We have, oh, no. Day two masterclass, personalized nutrition. Now, I know that this is something that many of you struggle with. I wonder, can I like make, that's Kim's too big. It's because I wonder, can I make me a bit bigger? Or I wonder if I do this. Hang on, let me play around here. Which one's better? Me down at the bottom or me to the side? Not that it really matters. You're like, Kim, we don't care where you are. Just hurry up and get on with it. Just stop talking, Kim, and playing around with the presentation. So personalized nutrition. Nutrition for sure is something that many, many people struggle with. It's something that I struggled with also whenever I first started as a vegan bodybuilder, because I really had no clue what I should eat, how much I should eat, how much protein I should eat, where should I get protein from. I didn't even know what a macro was. I remember going to train with Laura Hutchinson. Many people who are new to this company will not know that my first ever trainer was Laura's husband, now ex-husband, but they weren't very well suited. But anyway, he was my first trainer. And whenever I first went to train with him, he said to me in one of our first sessions, what are your macros? And I went, my what? And he said, your macros, what are your macros? And I went, I really don't know. Well, you mean? And I was very experienced in nutrition. Like, I was a yoga teacher who ran a yoga detox company. I was very, very, very well versed on nutrition. And honestly, I did not know what a macro was. So I said to him, I don't know what you mean. And he said, your protein, carbs, and fats, your macros. And I was like, oh. I was like, I don't know, I have no idea. And he was like, well, do you not track them? No. And he said, okay, it's the first thing we have to get you to do is tracking your macros. I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but sure, whatever you say. So that's where I really started to apply my knowledge of nutrition in a much more systematic and specific way, specific to bodybuilding. Because a lot of people will say, just like I used to say, you know, we get people in this group, they're like, well, I'm a nutritionist. And I think this, whatever. And I'm like, being a nutritionist does not qualify you as a bodybuilder. Okay. So nutritionists know a lot about general nutrition. Bodybuilders know a lot about eating for muscle gain and fat loss. Two very different things. There are a lot of unhealthy bodybuilders in this world. But I was never one of them, because health has always been at the forefront of all of the choices that I have made. So I have figured out a way, which I'm going to teach you today. I figured out a way that you can eat and train like a bodybuilder, but nourish your body, give your body calorifically light but nutritionally dense food. Food that you can eat a massive amount of, but not put on any body fat. And actually, you will lose body fat eating the way I teach with no portion control, no portion control at all. Literally, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, which will cause your body to burn body fat. Does that sound exciting? Are you like, okay, I'm interested. I can eat as much as I want and I will lose body fat. Yes, you will. And if you're strength training in the gym, you will also build a significant amount of muscle. And that's what I'm going to teach you how to do today. And that's what I teach in all of my programs, especially for women over the ages of 40 and 50, because we need a very kind of special kind of nutrition. And I'm going to teach you all that today. And it's going to be so much fun. But first of all, I'm just going to check. I'm not sure when I'm going to say it, but I'm just going to go back and check what my word is for today. Okay, I've got my word, because God forbid I might say the wrong word. Can you imagine if I said the wrong word? There's already so much confusion over the word and over the phrase and it's actually really quite fun. It's not funny actually, but we've been having quite a lot of fun with it in the groups. But imagine if I said the wrong word. Anyway, I digress. I'm really just making myself, I'm just having so much fun with this now, because it really would be an absolute shit show given the confusion that this whole challenge has seemed to create for many, many people, many thousands of people. But anyway, just before we begin, I just want to tell you one more thing. So just to reiterate for those of you who haven't read the rules, now, no one here, of course, the people who aren't here, they're the ones who haven't read the rules. So for the people who aren't here, who might watch the replay, who haven't read the rules, no one here, of course. So every day, Laura and I are going to be giving a word, just in case it wasn't clear. That word will make up an 8-word fitness phrase. You on Thursday, I'm also going to reveal a secret web page, also known as a URL. We've had a lot of questions. What's a URL? And it's really surprised me in this day and age that people don't know what it is, but that's just me assuming that everyone knows. So a URL is a web page. I'm going to give you a web address on Thursday where you're going to be able to upload the 8-word phrase. Now, if you upload it incorrectly, it won't let you actually enter the 8-word phrase. You can only enter the correct phrase. So you can't just go on there and wing it and just go, well, I'm just going to kind of guess what it is and hope for the best. It's programmed in such a way by my excellent coding team I have in-house that you can only enter the correct phrase. So you're going to enter the correct phrase by midnight UK time. Okay, so you need to figure out what that is in your own time zone. And then I'm going to do the draw on Friday. So that's how the competition works. Just for those of you who are still confused, but no one here, of course, no one here. The other people who didn't show up. Right, let's get started. So today we're going to talk about personalized nutrition. There's two types of main disorder. There are two main types of disordered eaters in this world. Undereaters and overeaters. Our society supports undereating more than overeating because it usually doesn't result in weight gain. So it's seen as more socially acceptable. Who here knows this, right? How many times, for those of you who are undereaters or who... For those of you who are undereaters, or those of you who are on the leaner side, how many times have you been called a skinny bitch? And people think that's a compliment. Oh, look at you, you're just a skinny bitch. And they say it as if it's a compliment. But yet it's not okay to call someone fat. You can't say, well, you're just a fat bitch, because that's insulting. But it's funny how it's okay to call someone a skinny bitch, right? We can comment on someone being really skinny, but God forbid you would comment on someone who's fat. And you can't even say the word fat, but I love saying the word fat. I'm just like fat, because words are just words, right? That's what we make them mean, which is what causes offense. So there are two types of disordered eaters in the world. Our society supports undereating more than overeating because it doesn't usually result in weight gain. So it's seen as more socially acceptable. But neither type of disordered eating is good or healthy. This is a random picture of me that I found whenever I was scrolling through my photos. And this was me before I started bodybuilding. I was a yoga teacher, which is why I was always so lean, but I was also an under-eater. And I mean a serious under-eater. I was always an under-eater. I controlled food religiously and prided myself on the mindset of food never tasted as good as skinny feels. Being hungry was a part of life for me. I had learned to feel the pain of hunger and not indulge it. I actually felt comforted by feeling hungry as I believed it was keeping me skinny. Fat shaming was very real in my house growing up. These beliefs became ingrained and taught me to embrace the pain of hunger because the pain of being overweight was so much greater. So do you remember yesterday we talked about how we choose our pain? And how if there is an option open to you that you are not choosing, it means that you're choosing the problem you're complaining about. Well, it's kind of the same with eating. And I really wanted to dive into this a little bit before we get into any real strategies, because me teaching you how to eat is completely useless if you don't have the emotional strength to follow through on what you know. All of us know how to lose body fat. You eat less and exercise more. So why are there still millions of people, billions of people running around overweight and unhappy if they know what to do? Well, it's because we don't have the emotional strength to do what we know. So part of what I teach in the Sculpted Vegan, part of what I teach in general in my life is not only strategies, because I spent many, many years whenever I first joined the Sculpted Vegan, just teaching strategies and strategies and strategies and teaching people what they should do. and then getting really confused whenever people didn't do it. Because I'm the kind of person that I'm a really good student, right? So if you tell me, if I really want to do something and you're the expert in it, and you say to me, Kim, do this and this and this, I go, okay, no problem. And I do this and this and this. I follow it to a T. I don't deviate. I don't waver. I'm not defiant. I do exactly what you tell me, no matter how hard it is. Don't ask me how I learned to do that, but I did. So I used to tell people what they should do all the time and what they should eat and how they should eat. And then I was really confused that they weren't doing it. Or they were constantly falling off the wagon or whatever. And I realized that the reason people are not achieving their body goals isn't because they don't have the correct strategies. It's because they don't have enough emotional strength. Now, I'm not going to be able to teach you in a one-hour masterclass how to completely transform your body, how to eat for the rest of your life, and help you overcome all of your emotional disordered eating. It's impossible. But I can at least give you a little bit of an awareness, a perceptual shift, and an insight into why you do what you do, and then give you some strategies that you can start to apply almost as a goal setting exercise. And then you can see what comes up as you apply the strategies. And those failures are the things that you're going to have to work on. So because I was always an under eater, I controlled food. I used to actually perversely enjoy feeling hungry. I felt hungry permanently. And I mean permanently. Even after I'd eaten, I really had never eaten enough to feel satisfied. But the problem for me was I became attached to the feeling of being hungry. And so therefore, if I ever felt full, it actually triggered a panic in me because now I felt full. Now, I never had an eating disorder. I never had bulimia or anorexia or anything like that. I had just built this habit. Once I'd gotten really skinny, I never wanted to lose it, right? I didn't want to risk losing it. And I didn't know how to, once I'd gotten there, I was so fearful of being, of not being skinny anymore. I just became ultra controlling. And so I felt permanently hungry. And I thought that that's what it took in order to stay lean, was to be permanently hungry. And that's how I spent my life. So being hungry was just a part of life for me. And if I ever didn't feel that pain of hunger, I felt that there was something wrong. I just pulled out some random old photos that I found in my phone here. So look at the difference in me. And I'm going to show you some other photos later on. But like, look how, really genuinely, look how skinny I am. And I've said here, if we expand on yesterday's teaching, you'll see that both emotional eating, so people who overeat, and controlling food is simply a way that human beings avoid greater pain. For me, the pain of getting fatter was far greater than the pain of being hungry. So I chose to undereat. So whenever I tried on eating food and putting on body fat, and I tried that feeling on in my body, I imagined it. I was like, even the thought of it was like, it was a very short, sharp, aversion. Absolutely not. And then I tried on this pain in my stomach of feeling hungry, and meaning that I got to have the ultimate satisfaction of staying lean and staying skinny and not putting on body fat. This pain was bad, but it wasn't as bad as this pain. So the pain of getting fatter was so great. And this imagined future pain of what it would be like if I put on body fat was so great that this pain was less. So I chose this pain. I chose the pain of hunger. For others, if you struggle with your weight, the pain of depriving themselves in the moment is greater than the pain of being leaner in the future. They want to have a flat belly or reduced cellulite or reduced love handles or no arm fat or all of those different things, but not more than they want to feel good in the moment. So this is what happens with people who are overweight. They look in the mirror and they see that they're overweight and they're like, oh, or see a photo of themselves. I don't want to be this way. And in the moment, the pain of being this way is great. The pain of being this way is immense. And so you decide you are going on a diet and you clear the kitchen of all of the foods, and maybe you meal prep or you buy that Sculpted Vegan program and you commit that you're going to do this, right? And for a short period of time, or it could be a day or half a day, it could be a week, it could be 5 days or whatever, you are the pain of you being overweight, not being where you want to be, is so great that whenever you're confronted with pizza or food or or chocolate or cookies or whatever your nemesis is, right? Pasta, whatever it is, whatever your nemesis is. Or whenever you're confronted with that, or maybe just one day you have this pain in your stomach, this pain of hunger, and you were on the diet and you were able to resist all of this up until now, but now this day you're so hungry and that hunger maybe triggers a fear. You're like, what if I'm actually damaging my body? Or maybe you had a row with your significant other, or maybe you had a really stressful day at work and you're feeling pain in your body. And now suddenly the pain you're feeling in the body becomes greater than the pain of being fat. And you know what's it's going to take to get this pain away. You know you can comfort yourself instantly with some comfort food. And so suddenly this pain is diminished. So this pain that you felt about being overweight is suddenly diminished, and this pain takes over. And you want this pain to go away. This pain is so great and so uncomfortable and so bad for you that you don't want to feel it anymore. So you go, oh, just, and you tell yourself, I'll just have one cookie. No one ever has one cookie. When they're feeling this pain, no one ever has one cookie. If it's after dinner and you're building a sweet treat into your diet, then you can have one cookie, right? I have a sweet treat after my dinner every single day. I go to the fridge, I get one of those vegan little chocolate brownie bites that are so delicious. I have one. I consider, do I need a second? If I feel like I do, I have a second. Most often I don't, one is fine. I'm not using the brownie to cover up or alleviate any pain. I just have this thing where after dinner, I have this like this little feeling that I want something sweet, but I would be okay not to have it as well. But the problem is why people keep falling off the wagon and becoming emotional leaders, or why we are emotional leaders, is because what we don't recognize is this pain takes over and we don't want to feel this pain anymore. And so we eat. And that is why most of the population is overweight, because we are comfort seekers. We're pain avoiders. Feeling good right now is what we are always going for. For me, the pain of hunger felt bad, but the pain of getting fat now or in the future was so much worse. So the pain scale looked like this. Feeling hungry, level 5. Getting fatter, level 9. So therefore, I chose my pain. I chose the lesser pain, the pain of feeling hungry. But for overeaters, it's in reverse, right? So for them, actually, maybe I've said this on the next scale. Yes, I have. Okay, on the next slide. So for those who struggle to control what they eat and find it hard to say no to food, the pain scale looks more like this. Feeling hungry, depriving myself, level 9. Being thinner, was important, but not so much now, level 5. So being overweight is still painful for me. Don't get me wrong. It's not that that pain ever goes away. It's just that when you weigh that pain against this pain, which is depriving myself in the moment or covering up some kind of hard feeling that I'm, or some emotional feeling that I'm going through, this pain becomes greater. And so therefore I choose to eat because this pain becomes diminished. It never goes away. It just becomes diminished. Eating is pleasurable because it's how the human body grows and thrives. We're supposed to derive pleasure from eating, but yet we also derive pleasure from the adversity that comes from working towards a goal. We get a hit of dopamine and a flood of endorphins every time we succeed in something such as completing a workout, doing cardio, resisting something we would have normally given into. The secret to success is rewiring your brain through building new habits so that you can get equal, if not more, pleasure, sacrificing and working towards your goals and a better future version of yourself than you do from pleasuring yourself in the moment. And so I always laugh at this picture. I don't know why. It looks so different. In fact, let me go back here for a second before I go into my story. So let me just talk about this for a second. So eating is pleasurable. Eating is supposed to be pleasurable. Eating is supposed to make us feel good. There are three things that stimulate the pleasure centers of the brain: eating, learning, and sex. Okay. That's why whenever you show up here and you listen to me teach, it's pleasurable for you to listen to this because it's interesting. Hopefully, I'm telling lots of stories. It's stimulating the part of your brain which enjoys learning. Okay. Eating is also very pleasurable. So you can't ever deny that you get enjoyment from food. But the problem is many of us have used food as a coping mechanism. We use food as a coping mechanism in order to override a negative feeling because we're not used to dealing with the negative feeling. Do you know one of the worst things you can ever, ever do to your kids or your grandkids is give them something sweet to eat whenever they hurt themselves or they're feeling upset? I was in Australia recently and I was spending time with my family. And it's funny, I was with my sister-in-law and she said, you know, she was talking about one of the girls being upset. She's four very young kids. She was talking about one of the girls being upset. And she said, you know, and she said, oh, she was so upset. So I said, do you know what I think you need right now? I think you need some ice cream. And she said, so we went and we got ice cream and we sat down, we ate the ice cream. And of course, you know, and she was fine after that. And I was like, ooh, such a, you know, and I said to her, you know, I said, that's actually one of the things I've learned is the worst thing you can ever do, especially for women. She was like, what? And I said, well, she was feeling upset. And rather than teach her how to work through those feelings of being upset, what we do as parents inadvertently is we teach them to cover up the feelings of being upset with food, with something sugary and sweet. So instead of let's work through these feelings of being upset together, let's peak in the feeling of emotion and then let it come down the other side, because your body has a natural inbuilt mechanism to comfort itself. You don't need something external to comfort yourself. You really don't. But we, because of our well-intentioned parents and grandparents and community, whenever we're younger, whenever a child's upset, it triggers us. And we're like, oh, and we want the child to stop feeling upset. We want to comfort the child. We don't realize the child has an inbuilt comfort mechanism, which I'll tell you about now. And so what we do is we give the child food and or we give the child something else, but usually food, right? Usually sugary, sweet food, because we know sugary, sweet food feels so good. And so we replace the feeling of bad with the feeling of something that comes from sugary, sweet food. And we build a very, very, very bad postulate in the child that every time I'm upset, I can reach for something sugary and sweet and I will feel better. And it's funny, I was chatting with my daughter. We went for her scoliosis appointment last week. She's really bad scoliosis, but she manages it really well. We're actually managing to reverse it through full-time bracing and acupuncture and chiropractic and manipulation and Schroth and physio. And she's constantly at appointments. We're very diligent in reversing her scoliosis. And we went to her specialist last week to get fitted for a new brace. She's 14. And whenever he did the x-rays, he'd only just done a very quick measurement of the x-rays and he compared them against the x-rays from 6 months ago. And he didn't think there was much of a difference, right? And Maya has been diligently, for the last year, she's been wearing a brace full-time. It's a rock solid, hard brace, right? It's called a scoli brace, which actually goes under her arm and under right up here. I mean, it's full, but it's her whole torso. And it pushes her and it hurts her, right? She has to sleep in it and everything, but she gets on with it. She's great. But so she'd been working so diligently doing her daily exercises and she has like 4 or 5 appointments every single week, as well as riding her horses and doing everything she has to do. And she really was hoping to see a big change in the curve because of all the exercise that she's been doing and all the work she's been doing. And so anyway, whenever he quickly measured the spine, he didn't see much of a difference. And he waited until the very end of the appointment. And he said, I don't want you to be discouraged. He said, there's a minimal difference because she has an S curve. So she has 2 curves. He said, there's a minimal difference. He said, there's you've reduced it by 3 degrees on the top and 3 degrees on the bottom. And she was like, oh, okay. And he's like, but I don't want you to get discouraged because look at all this and your rib cages isn't rotated. And he pointed out all the other amazing things that she's been doing. And I could tell she was like, oh no, that's fine. I said, are you upset? She said, no, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm totally okay. But anyway, we get into the car to go back to the airport and the driver was, you know, driving us and we were sitting in the back and I could tell she was upset. And so I said to her, I said, look, if you're upset, just talk. And she said, I just thought that with all, and I could see she's starting to, you know, get upset and starting to cry. And she said, just with all of the work I've been doing, I did think I would see a bit more. And I said, honey, don't hold it in. I said, this driver probably has a wife. He's probably seen women cry, and maybe a daughter. He's probably had crying females around him his entire life. I said, you need to get this out. You cannot hold this in. So whatever you're feeling, just let it out and we'll talk about it. So she started to cry. And she said, I just, you know, I really just felt like with all the work I've been doing, I felt like I could have, you know, gotten so much more. I thought I was going to be down under 50 degrees, but, you know, to see it was only gone from 56 to 53 is, you know, it's disheartening. And she said, I just really thought that it could have been more. I said, I completely understand. And I said to her, it's like building muscle. I said, we go into the gym and we work so hard and we think we deserve to have more muscle than we have because we've worked so hard and we believe that our hard work has earned us more than reality has given us. And I said, and sometimes you just have to accept that reality is reality. And no matter how much we want it to be different, that's the way it is. And she said, no, I completely understand. She cried for maybe, I would say, a good 15 minutes. And we talked and talked and she cried. And then she stopped crying. Eventually she stopped and she became okay. And then she, it was, and then we went the rest of the car journey and we got to the airport and I said, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay. And we got into the airport and we went to get some food and we were sitting down in one of the restaurants eating. And she said, isn't it really funny how like 30 minutes ago, I was really, really upset. She goes, I honestly felt my heart was breaking, but now I feel completely fine. And I said, I know. I said, because that's the process of emotion. The process of emotion is that you have a buildup of emotion. The emotion rises and rises and then it peaks. And at some point it peaks. It's like having a contraction during childbirth. At some point that contraction peaks and then it comes down the other side. And I don't know where I learned this when my kids were young, but it was something that I understood from my children or maybe from my own emotions, that at some point your emotion peaks. And if you deny it and you stuff it down and you push it and you don't allow it to peak, then you're constantly walking around suppressing your emotional self and stuffing it down with food. So the problem is we're so afraid of feeling emotion that we stuff our emotions with food. Where did we learn this? Usually in childhood, either from a well-intentioned parent or grandparent who gave us food to stuff our emotions, or we stuffed our emotions ourselves and we realized that, you know, we were told, don't cry, big girls don't cry. And so you were, and then you ate food and you felt better. And then you made the link between holding onto this emotion and eating food and feeling better. And so I never did that with my kids ever. And so Maya recognized that she had felt upset, she peaked, and then she came down the other side, and then she was absolutely and utterly fine. And here's the really good news. The consultant messaged me in the morning and said, I'm really sorry, I measured incorrectly. I've had a chance to sit down with the measurements now. Maya has had a significant decrease. It's 10 degrees in her top curve and 6 degrees in her bottom curve. He said her spine is literally straightening. And he sent me the pictures. I'm actually going to show it to you. He sent me the pictures of her spine side by side. And he said, so like on the black one is the spine before, and the one on the right is the spine at the appointment. So you can see that the one in the blue is significantly straighter. So he said, I made a mistake. He said, it's significantly straighter, and she was so happy, as you can imagine, about that. But my point is, human beings have emotions. Our emotions are supposed to peak and then fall. You don't need to stuff them or suppress them with food. You just need to become really, really, really good at, really good at feeling your emotions and allowing them to exist in all their wonderful, beautiful glory and not being afraid of them, not being afraid of feeling them. This is actually my story because emotions are a beautiful part of life. And we have this thing called an emotional bandwidth, which is you have your positive emotions and your negative emotions. And if this is you in the center and you only allow yourself to feel this amount of a negative emotion, you will only be able to feel this amount of a positive emotion on the other side. The emotional bandwidth is absolute, which means that if you allow yourself to feel this much negative emotion, you will allow yourself to feel this much positive emotion. So if you limit your negative emotions, you will limit your positive emotions. You will limit your joyful experience of life if you limit the negative emotions, because the world is perfect. The universe is perfect. There is the yin and the yang in everything. So if you limit how deeply you feel, you will limit your experience of life on the positive side. So I really want you to consider that the next time you are slow, and hopefully what you're going to do in future is you're going to slow this down. You're going to slow down your process when you go to eat, and you're going to allow yourself to, if it is to stuff an emotion that you're feeling, you're going to allow yourself to feel that emotion fully. People always say, but what do I do when I have a really, really strong craving? I'm like, sit with the craving and feel it and experience it and bring it to the surface and ask yourself what it is you're trying to protect. Is it a feeling of hunger? Is it a sadness emotion? Is it something else? Is it frustration? Is it stress? Like, what is it that you're trying to overcome? You may still choose to eat the food, but at least you'll build more awareness. So in 2016, whenever I started with my trainer, Curtis, my first trainer, I was eating 1,200 calories a day. Now, I was skinny. I was very skinny, but you can actually see that I still had a layer of fat around my belly button. Now, not a huge layer of fat, but I didn't have a six pack. I was super, super skinny, but excuse me, I did not have a six pack. Fast forward to 2019. In this photo, I was eating 3,000 calories, and that's about how many calories I eat per day now. So 3,000 calories on the right, and I have a certified six pack. I'm not even super lean in this photo. This wasn't stage lean. This was just me doing a photo shoot because we needed more photos for the company. So whenever I first started with my trainer, Curtis, and I said to him, he said, how many calories are you eating? And I said, oh, I have no idea. And he said, well, I want you to start tracking them. He said, well, what do you eat during the day? And I said, well, I have a protein shake for breakfast. And he said, what do you have in your protein shake? And I was like, just protein. And he went, but what else? I said, just protein and water. And he went, protein powder and water, that's it. And I was like, uh-huh. And he said, what do you have for lunch? I was like, protein shake. And he was like, a protein shake for lunch? And that's it? Like, he said, you teach 3 hours yoga in the morning? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, what do you have for dinner? And I said, well, I have some, you know, pasta made from courgette. So courgetti, you know, with some, maybe some vegan bolognese and something other. And he was like, you are eating so few calories. And I was like, yeah. And like, your point is, I thought I honestly thought when I told him how many calories I was eating, he was going to high five me and go, way to go. Like, what amazing self-control you have. I thought he was going to be like this girl is, I was like proudly telling him, oh, this is all I eat in a day. I had a real sense of pride in this hardship I was able to overcome every day, not realizing I wasn't overcoming any hardship at all, because if I actually wanted to overcome hardship, I would have eaten more and looked at the monster I was avoiding, which was the monster, the beast of getting fat. That was hard. What I was doing was easy for me, because human beings always choose the easiest path, right? So even though it was hard, it was easier than the alternative, which was eating more food and risking putting on body fat. Aha, you're like, oh, this is very interesting, Kim. Never thought about it in this way. So here's some photos that were taken yesterday. I really want to impress on you how you can, because this is what I'm going to teach you over these 5 days. This is what we're building on, how you too can eat a lot of food, not immediately, especially if you have a lot of body fat to lose, but how we want to train you towards more muscle, less body fat, a really healthy metabolism, and a full and wonderful free diet, a diet where you can eat anything that you want, because that is my ultimate goal for you. Because this is a lifestyle I'm teaching you about here, a lifestyle program. So these photos were taken yesterday. Yesterday, this is what I look like today, right? I'm not lean, as in like, okay, I'm not lean. People would say, Kim, you're ripped in this photo. I'm actually about 18% body fat at the minute, I would say, which is quite high for me. I'm normally about 14% body fat. So I say I'm about 18% body fat. But see, the more muscle you have, the more muscle definition you will have, even at higher percentages of body fat, because the bigger the muscle underneath, the more it pokes through. Now, I'm not saying that anyone here is ever going to look like me, and I can almost guarantee that no one here is ever going to look like me, because you will never look like me by accident. And I want to be not as big as I can possibly be, because if I wanted to be huge, I would take loads of steroids and I would, you know, and I would cheat a little and whatever, but I don't do any of that. So, but these photos were taken yesterday. Every week I eat chocolate, carbs, pizza. I drink alcohol. I take zero supplements and I don't drink protein shakes. And you can hate me now. People are like, but you're the sculpted vegan. I'm like, yeah, I know. And honestly, people are like, oh, so what supplements do you currently take? I'm like, no, I don't take any. I'm like, well, you know, vitamin B, sometimes vitamin C, if I have a bit of water retention, a good probiotic. They're like, no, I mean like creatine. No, I don't take creatine. Elution, no. BCAA, no. Oh, well, L-carnitine? No. ALA, no. Well, what do you take for muscle building? A lot of really heavy weights. They go, but surely you need supplements. No, the supplement companies would like you to believe that you need supplements. And we always have them in our programs. People are like, but Kim, you have supplements in your programs, because I know, because I buy your programs. If we don't have supplements in there, people are pissed off. So we put them in for the people who want them. It's just like people who love the pharmaceutical companies, right? People believe, I think, that taking supplements is going to give them much better results. It's not. And I'm not saying that taking supplements will give you like a marginal, tiny little, like marginal gain potentially, but the proof is in the pudding, right? I have like built in the last year, I had lost over 6 kilos of muscle, which was like 12 pounds, more than 12 pounds of muscle, because I just hadn't been training. I'd been focusing on my horses. Well, I had been training, but just sporadically. In the last year, I really recommitted to my training 4 days a week. That's all. 4 days a week, 45 minutes, 4 days a week. And I built back 6 kilos. In fact, I think I'm about 8 kilos of muscle up now in a year. I took no supplements. I drank no protein shakes. I had a load of pizza. I drank alcohol every weekend, sometimes during the week. Often during the week. I loads of vegan ice cream, chocolate brownies every day. And this is what I look like. And this is what I want for you. You don't need to spend your life dieting, okay? Now, there may be a period of adjustment in the beginning when you start. And hopefully, as many of you as possible are going to move into the 6-month Extreme Body Makeover program that we're opening on Friday, because that really is the starting point for you to be able to do this in your life, to have this, what I have. And I've even gone a step further with this program that we're opening on Friday. And I shouldn't be telling you all these details, but I'm going to anyway. I am offering with this program a lifetime, no questions asked, money back guarantee. Lifetime. If in 5 years you decide the program wasn't worth it, you can write to customer service and they will give you a full refund. Lifetime, no questions asked, money back guarantee. You don't have to submit photos. You don't have to give us like meal plan photos. You don't have to prove you did the work. Nothing. I know this program works, and I know this program is life-changing for you, and I want to change your life. It is my highest value. I don't give a shit about the money. If my sole focus was making money, I would never offer a guarantee like this. I'm getting very worked up today. I don't know why. I'm very passionate today. The team are probably like, holy fuck, she's in there like steam coming out of her ears. I don't know why I'm so worked up today. I think because there's so many women in this challenge. And I see the problems, and they're the same problems. And I know I can fix these problems because we have the emotional coaching that I have and Laura can give you. We have the physical coaches. We have the coaches in the groups and the programs to support you. Everything you need to transform is available in The Sculpted Vegan. Everything. If you're just willing to show up and commit. And transforming your body isn't magic. You just need to know how to eat. And I am going to get into some strategies now, I promise. And then you need to do it consistently. So that was me on the left. Look how skinny my shoulders are. Like I was a natural pear shaped. And look how warped my body is the way I'm standing. And then that was me yesterday on the right. Like even my face has transformed. Well, that's mostly due to Botox and fillers, I have to be honest. But I do have more muscle in my face. I have more muscle in my neck. So I don't have a scraggy neck. People always say, oh, Kim, like your neck is amazing. Because I have muscle in my neck. When you have muscle in your neck, you don't get that scraggy neck, okay? As you get older. Transforming your body isn't magic. You just need to know how to eat and how to train. And then you need to do it consistently. Okay. So you're like, okay, Kim, I'm sold. Just tell me how to eat. I'm ready for the good stuff. Okay, here it comes. You ready? How to eat more without putting on body fat. The secret to eating more without gaining fat is all in the measurement. You need to assess your current daily total energy expenditure and then track your calories at that level for at least a couple of weeks. Okay. Once you've established a norm, you can play with increasing calories a little for a week or two and then reassess by taking progress pictures. So actually, let me back up a bit. Let me see what I said more. Okay. So whenever, and you know what? See, before I move on, tell me, I don't have the comments open here because I have my screen share open. Tell me if you guys are, tell me if you're liking this information. I'm going to look at the comments for a second. Okay. I want to know. Are you, I know it's not probably what you expected, but I am going to get into some real eating strategies now. But tell me if you're liking this information. Tell me if you're finding it useful. Tell me if you're, sorry, I'm just checking something. Tell me if you're finding it useful. Tell me if you're having realizations. Tell me what your thoughts are. Okay, you guys are saying, yes, this is awesome. Yes, I'm loving it. I always like the info you provide. You guys are amazing. Love it, love it, love it. It's the best. If you don't like it, and if you're like, Kim, it's not resonating with me, tell me that too. Like, I'm not just not looking for positive reinforcement here. I'm really looking for you guys to be honest with me, okay? Okay, perfect. You're all giving me the things. Okay, so what I'm also going to tell you before we move on is that the fitness word for today, pay attention, everybody, is and. The fitness word for today, three letters, A-N-D. The fitness word for today is and. Okay, write it down. Let's move on. How to eat more without putting on body fat. Let me break this down. So people always ask me, how do you eat more without gaining body fat? There's two different ways you can do it. I'm going to cover both of them. The first one is if you're already training in the gym and you are, or you're doing some kind of fitness routine, right? So you're doing some kind of fitness routine, you are, whether you're underweight or you're happy weight or you're happy with your weight or you're overweight, doesn't matter. These principles all apply. You have to establish a norm before you can make any changes. So you have to figure out how much you're eating now. So what I did whenever I first started tracking was I realized that I was only eating 1,200 calories a day. I had no idea that I was eating 1,200 calories a day. When I started tracking my calories, Curtis said to me, he worked out my total daily energy expenditure. That is your BMR, which is your basal metabolic rate, plus the amount of energy you expend in a day. Your basal metabolic rate accounts for 60% of your total daily calorie expenditure. The other 40% comes from the amount of exercise that you do. So Curtis worked out that I needed to eat 1,800 calories a day to maintain my current body shape or my current, you know, activity level. And so he said to me, here's your goal. And he gave me my proteins, my carbs, and my fats. And so I downloaded my Fitness Pal, never used it before. I downloaded my Fitness Pal and I started tracking my calories. And at the end of the day, I would put in my food and I didn't plan it in advance. I didn't meal prep, didn't do any of that. But at the end of the day, I would look and I would say, oh, I wondered how many calories left. And I would look and I would see that I had like 800 calories still to eat. 800 calories. And this is 8 o'clock at night. I'd only managed to eat 1,000 calories between I got up at say 5 or 6 a.m. and 8 o'clock at night. And so it was astonishing to me that I had all of this extra food left to eat. See now, if I'm on 1,800 calories, I am starving. I feel like I'm on the world's most restricted diet. But then it was so alien to me to eat that amount. And so I started eating 1,800 calories a day. And Curtis had me take progress pictures every single week. So we kept the 1,800 calories steady for the first, I think, 2 weeks. But what I did was I had added gym training 4 days a week now on top of my yoga training because I was training with him. So at the end of 2 weeks, I took progress pictures and I sent them to him and I was leaner. So I had increased my calories by 600 a day. And in 2 weeks, I had lost weight. So he increased my calories to 1,900. I took progress pictures again a week later. I looked at them and I had lost more weight. So he increased my calories to 2,000. So I'm still training in the gym. I'm still training in the gym 4 days a week. So we increased my calories to 2,000. Then, and so this cycle repeated. I increased my calories, took progress pictures, increased my calories, took progress pictures. I went up and up and up and up and up and up until I hit 3,000 calories. And when I hit 3,000 calories, I noticed that I started to get a little fluffier. Now, when you get a little fluffier, what that means is your body has utilized all of the calories and put them into muscle growth. And there was a little left over for fat store. That's all that means. So I paused at 3,000 calories and I stayed there until I started to diet for the show. If I hadn't have established a baseline of calories first by working out my total daily energy expenditure, I would never have known where to go from there. Now, if I had been overweight, what Curtis would have done is he would have worked out my TDEE, which would have been, say, 1,800 calories, but I would have probably been eating 2,500 calories because people who are, or maybe 2,200, but people who are overweight are eating over their total daily energy expenditure. And so what I would have had to do is go down to the 1,800 calories. Now, had I started to train 4 days a week and stayed consistent at 1,800 calories, if I was overweight, my body, if I had taken weekly progress pictures, would have dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped body fat. So when do you change your calories to decrease more? When you stop dropping body fat. So if you're assessing, taking your pictures every week, and you go 5 weeks and on 1800 calories, training 4 times a week in the gym, doing some cardio, if you continue to lose a little bit of body fat, like a pound a week, for 5 weeks, you keep your calories the same. If 1 week you don't have any noticeable difference in your photos or any noticeable difference on the scale, then you can decrease your calories. But you decrease them by like 50 calories. 50, maybe 100, but 50 is fine. You don't go from 1800 to 1500. You decrease by 50 and you repeat the process. Photos, 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 photos. You keep taking photos and you will notice that your body will drop more body fat. You'll boost the fat loss. You'll go back to losing about a pound a week. If you don't, then you increase it a little bit more to maybe 100 calories and you repeat the process. The problem is most people go, I need to diet. I'm so fat. I can't do this. I'm okay. 1,000 calories a day, starvation diet. I'm literally going to eat half a grapefruit for breakfast and no lunch. And a piece of lean protein and a salad for dinner, and that's it. And they go on to like 1,000-calorie-a-day diet. And that lasts, they literally are miserable for 4 days until they fall off the wagon and eat an entire pizza. That's not how you lose body fat sustainably. How you lose body fat sustainably is by gradually decreasing your calories incrementally. Changing how you eat is completely useless, however, if you aren't going to strength train in the gym. Strength training raises the metabolism. Dieting lowers the metabolism. To transform your body, which I think is what you're all here for, you're not just here because you want to lose a bit of weight, you want to transform your body, hopefully, and that's what I'm teaching you, you need to do both. So here's the thing, women over 40 need a different nutrition plan. The biggest struggle I see with women over 40 is excess body fat storage, particularly around their stomach and their thighs. No matter how hard they train or how low they drop their calories, and some of you go very low, they feel like their middle age spread keeps expanding. Here's why that happens. Insulin resistance is when the muscles, heart, and liver cells don't respond well to insulin and resist your body's attempt to give them energy. In response, the pancreas secrete more and more insulin, causing increased glucose to be diverted to fat cells. Fat stores are like that drawer or closet in your house that is a dumping ground. Insulin takes the energy it cannot put into your cells and dumps it into fat stores. As our ovaries stop working, the body wants to store more fat to produce more estrogen. Menopause causes our body to become insulin resistant because it wants even more fat cells to make even more estrogen. So as we get over the age of 40, and our bodies, our ovaries stop producing estrogen, or estrogen, as you call it in America, then what happens is your body's not ready to give up on estrogen. So it starts to shut off the GLUT4 receptors on the surface of the muscles, the heart, and the liver, so that they cannot absorb glucose and turn it into glycogen, because it wants that glucose to be diverted to fat store. So insulin is released into the bloodstream. Insulin goes around trying to store the glucose, right? But your body is not accepting all the glucose. Your body's only accepting, your muscles and liver and your heart are only accepting 50% of the glucose. So the glucose is staying in your blood. So your body panics and your body goes, crap, oh my God, what we must need is more insulin. So more, boom, 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 your pancreas start pumping out more insulin is released into the blood. Insulin tries desperately to store this glucose into the muscles and the heart and the liver, and it can't. So what does it do? Sends it all to the liver, converts it to triglycerides, puts it straight into fat store. And your body goes, oh, okay, thank God. Now we have a potential store of estrogen for the future. And we don't need to worry anymore, because even when the ovaries completely give up, we have lots of fat cells which can produce estrogen, and that's fine. Your body doesn't know that you have a little black dress to fit into on the weekend. It doesn't know that you have a two-piece swimming costume that you need to, a two-piece bikini that you need to wear on vacation this year. It doesn't give a damn that you have a one-pack instead of a six-pack and you don't like it. Your body wants to store more fat so it can create more estrogenic cells, which unfortunately are located all around your middle. But all is not lost. because you can stop weight gain over the age of 40. How do you do it? Very, very, very simple. If you follow these very simple principles here and you do this for a long period of time, how long is a long period of time? At least 6 months or more, okay? 6 days is not going to cut it. You are going to feel better after 6 days, but as with anything, you have to keep at it for the long term. If you follow these really three simple things here, you are going to short circuit the menopausal fat gain. By the way, you have enough fat, right? That can be broken down for estrogen. Your body just wants to overstore the fat because your body's main goal is to keep you healthy in the long term. And it goes, oh, but what if we run out of estrogen completely? We need to have extra fat cells just in case, because she's a bit of a yo-yo dieter, this one. And we don't know that we're going to be consistently fed, because sometimes we're fed a lot and sometimes we're not fed anything. So we don't know when the period of starvation is going to come from not being fed anything. So we need, in the period of plenty, we need to store as much as we possibly can to get through the period of shortage, which I know is coming because she's done this for years. She diets, she eats, she diets, she eats, she diets, she eats. So when she's eating, we're going to make sure we store as much as possible because we know the diet is going to come. That's what happens when you're a yo-yo dieter. When you're like me and you just eat a lot of food all the time, your body goes, that's all right. We don't need to store anything. We can just chill out here for a while because we know that the food is just going to keep on coming, because this fat bitch over here just keeps stuffing her face at every single meal. The food is aplenty. There's always, always feast in the Constable household. There's never famine. So my body knows that it's not feast or famine. It's always feast. So it doesn't need to store a single thing because it trusts I'm going to give it everything that it needs. But for those of you who are a little bit more feast and famine, not anyone here, of course, the people who didn't show up today, those other people who didn't, you know, join the challenge, those people. For those of you a bit feast or famine, those other people, of course, this is what you need to do, okay? And once you've done this for a long period of time, you can then start to eat like me. Because hopefully you're going to start strength training in the gym, all of you, yes, after this. Even if it's not in the gym, at home, you have to start doing some kind of body weight stuff. You have to start training your muscles, getting strong. You can't osteoporosis, you know, ain't none of us getting any younger. We need to sort this out, girls. How to stop weight gain over 40. Eat 30 grams of lean protein at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Why? Protein is thermogenic. It raises the metabolism. It's the only food that you can eat that actually causes your body to burn more fat while it's being digested. 30 grams of protein at every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't count smoothies in that, just breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Replace all white starchy carbs with slow carbs. What are slow carbs? Beans, lentils, and cruciferous vegetables. If you have to ask, is this allowed? The answer is no. Can I have Ezekiel bread? No. Can I have lentil pasta? No. Can I have pasta made from black beans? No. Can I have sweet potato? No. Can I have brown bread? No. Brown pasta? No. Brown rice? No. Black rice? No. Wild rice? No. Anything with the word rice on it is a no. Anything with the word bread on it is a no. Anything with the word pasta on it is a no. Couscous? No. Quinoa? No. Ask yourself, is it white? Was it white? Or could it be white? If the answer is yes, don't eat it. So a turnip is not a cruciferous vegetable. Neither is a carrot or a beetroot, or those are all root vegetables. Parsnips? No. Butternut squash? No. Pumpkin? No. These are all root vegetables. Green cruciferous vegetables are things like broccoli, kale, spinach, asparagus, cauliflower, pak choi, kale. Don't know whether I said kale. Who would ever eat kale? Though it's really disgusting. I hate kale. Things like that. Those are green cruciferous vegetables. Those are cruciferous vegetables, preferably green, except cauliflower is not green and it is allowed. You also want to keep all fruit and fat to a minimum. I'm not going to get into fruit gate because I have caused fruit gate many times over the years. But let me just tell you what happens with fruit. The Australians are always horrified. The Australians are like, oh, not fruit. But fruit is healthy. That is true. Fruit is very healthy. But fruit is great for fat loss. No, that's not true. Yes, it is. I was told that fruit is really great for fat loss. And the government tells us that we should eat 5 portions of fruit per day. And the government would never lie to us, would they? Can't raise my eyebrows because of my Botox. Would they? No. So here's the thing about fruit, right? Very quickly. The primary sugar in fruit is fructose. Fructose, the only organ of the body that can utilize fructose is the liver to fuel the brain. Your muscles cannot utilize fructose, and neither can your heart. So your body cannot store fructose to convert it into glycogen. The only organ of the body that can utilize fructose is the liver. So if you overconsume fruit, or anytime you consume fruit, your body will try to store the fructose from the fruit in the liver, but your liver can only hold a tiny, tiny little amount of fructose at any one time. And the rest of it is sent directly to the liver, converted into triglycerides, and sent directly to fat store. So if you are over the age of 40 and suffering from insulin resistance, which many of you are, then I'm really sorry to tell you that fruit is the worst possible thing that you could ever eat. It is very healthy, but it's not good for fat loss. So it depends on your goal. And people are like, Kim, you're wrong. I'm like, okay, I don't need to be right. I never eat fruit. I literally never, not never. I mean, actually, that's not true. I had a banana earlier because I was starving. So I do eat fruit occasionally, but it's not part of my daily diet because I'm not invested in fruit. Australians get very, very upset with me whenever this happens because fruit is abundant in Australia. And they all eat mangoes and pineapple and all the real juicy, sweet, sugary, sugar bomb fruit, right? You need to avoid fruit and you need to keep fat to a minimum because it's very calorific. Okay, so here's your homework. Now, VIPs, you have extra emotional homework, right? Emotional brain homework I've written here in your PDF worksheet in your hub. Why have the general access members not got it? Because honestly, there's no way I could put it all here on a sheet. There was too much of it. But for those of you who are VIPs, you have extra homework in your hub. So make sure you go download your PDF worksheet. For those of you who are general access, here's what I want you to do. For one full day at least, I want you to write down every single thing that you eat. Bonus points if you enter it into a fitness tracker such as MyFitnessPal. I want you to assess where you're over-consuming white starchy carbs and or calories. So you're not gonna judge it. You're not gonna try and control it or change it. You're just going to write down everything that you eat and then you're gonna track it and you're gonna go, oh, interesting. Wow, I had no idea that food had so many calories. And then you're going to remember that what gets measured gets managed. Start to track and measure your food and you will be more mindful of how and what you eat, which is the first step to change. Remember I said I couldn't actually like completely transform you in one session and give you all the strategies and give you a food plan and give you protein, carbs and fats and tell you what to do. In fact, I could have. And I've done that in the past with 5-day challenges. I have given people in 5-day challenges specific guidelines, macros, percentages, like full food lists, everything. Did they follow them? No. Why not? Because they had a lot of emotional problems that stopped them from being able to follow a plan. I give people plans all the time. Do they fucking follow them? No, they don't follow them. Why not? Because as human beings, we're weak and we're limited. We're not weak, we're limited. We have limitations. We're either under-eaters or overeaters. So I say to the under-eaters, eat all the food. And they go, okay, no, I'm not doing that, absolutely not. Or I go to all the overeaters, I go, diet and eat cruciferous vegetables and all these lovely things and avoid fruit. And they're like, you're crazy. Absolutely no, sorry. Or they pretend that they're doing it and then they don't do it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to talk about your fat burning zone. And I wanted to leave you with a photo of the fabulous Elka. Elka won $100,000 in our last 6-month challenge. And this is what she, you can see the sign. That was her at the start of the challenge. And that is her. That was her at the bottom right-hand corner at the end of the challenge. That is what you can do in 6 months if you just trust me. If you just say, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. It's like nothing to lose. She has a money-back guarantee. You have literally nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. But you could have a body like Elka. And Elka is still very much a part of our program. I think she's in this challenge. And she looks phenomenal. She never stopped. See when she looked like that? She never stopped looking like that. She trains in the gym. She eats all the food. She gets loads of sleep. She follows the principles. She's still part of the company. She buys all the programs with the full coaching. She is so committed to her fitness journey. It is unbelievable. And you too can be like Elka, who I'm not sure what age Elka is. I know she's in her 40s, in her mid 40s. I think she's 48, maybe. So you too can have results like Elka if you'll just trust me and listen to what I say and trust that I promise you we can help you get where you want to go if you'll just hang around after the 5 days. And even if you don't join the Extreme Body Makeover over 40, we have like loads of free coaching, loads of free groups. Like we're here every day. Like the people are sick of seeing, they're sick of the sight of us, to be honest. We're everywhere every day if you want us to be. So you don't even have to buy anything from us to avail of all of the good information that we're teaching. But I promise you, if you stick with me, I will help you to change. And it might take a long time, but that's okay, because change does take a long time sometimes. And you just have to commit to not giving up and you'll eventually get there. Guys, did you enjoy this today? I can't believe I've gone 5 minutes over. I didn't even have time for a Q&A, but actually I'm happy to hang around. If you guys have some questions, I'm happy to hang around for another like 10 minutes and do a few questions. If anyone has like, but like a real question, I'm happy to answer it. I'm really sorry. Like if my coaching team need to go, you guys don't need to stay, or the team here in the office. If any of you have appointments or whatever, you don't need to stay, but I'm actually happy to hang around here for another, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. If you guys have questions, let me know in the comments. Can undereaters eat fruit? Yes, undereaters can eat anything. Undereaters can eat anything you want, because if you have a lot of body fat that you, if you don't have a lot of body fat, but you are working really hard in the gym, and you are building loads and loads of muscle, and you're not building, but you're trying to build loads of muscle, and you're really pushing hard in the gym, then you can literally eat whatever you want. Yes, the no fruit advice and the white starchy carb advice is really for people who are trying to lose body fat. But here's the other thing, right? See, because I'm 45, I genuinely don't eat fruit, and I don't eat a lot of, I don't eat a lot of white starchy carbs. I do now eat more white starchy carbs. I spent the last 10 years eating no white starchy carbs. Apart from when I was in a really strong period of building muscle for the stage. But then once I stopped competing, I haven't competed since 2019 when I competed in the World Championships. And once I stopped competing, I actually went back to eating exactly by the principles that I was teaching you. No white starchy carbs, no fruit, very little liquid calories. You know, just eat 80% clean. I went back to eating 80% clean, lentils, beans, cruciferous vegetables, all that stuff, salad, greens, very few carbs. Would never have had toast. But then what's happened over this last year, since I've gone back into a strong building phase, I've been allowing myself to have, you know, a couple of pieces. So I have 2 pieces of toast in the morning. I have scrambled tofu and 2 pieces of toast. I've been allowing myself to have some, you know, my chef would make potatoes and things in the evening. I've been allowing myself to have some of those as well. But I eat an enormous volume of food at the minute. And I eat a lot, like I eat several times a day. And I'm eating a lot of really good, you know, peanut butter and oats and like the vegan chocolate brownies I was telling you about that my chef makes. My lunch today was so enormous. There was like loads of seitan, and there was couscous and lentils and all different types of vegetables and broccoli and beans. And like, it was so big, I couldn't even get through it. And then I had a banana earlier on just before I trained, and I had more peanut butter and oats and like these little like protein bar things that Lee makes. And I just eat whatever. I don't know what dinner is tonight, but it'll be huge. And then I usually eat again before I go to bed. So, and then on the weekend I eat a lot. Like I will always order pizza on the weekend. We'll have Indian food, or, you know, I always eat a lot on the weekend. And I also like a wee drink on the weekend as well, which is very calorific. And people always say, how can you drink and still stay so lean? I don't know. I just do. Like, I just fit it into my macros. And if I ever think that I'm putting on too much body fat, well, then I cut back on what I'm eating. For me, it's very simple now. I eat consistently well 80% of the time. If I feel I'm putting on too much body fat, I cut back or I do more cardio. And then once I've lost the body fat again, then I go back to the way I was. The secret is in building a consistency 80% of the time. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to teach you some real strategies. So tomorrow, we're getting into talking a lot more about fat burning, specifically about burning fat with nutrition, with cardio, with different techniques. And then on Thursday, I'm going to teach you about motivation and mindset. So I'm really going to teach you about building new healthy habits, replacing old habits with new habits, and give you some real strategies for doing that, so that you have a kind of plan that you can move forward with. And that's my goal for you over the next 5 days. And then on the Friday, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to tell you all about the 6-month program. So Friday is, a lot of it is going to be kind of giving you a real roadmap forward for, you know, for the next 6 months. What else have we got? Oh my God, you guys, I was like, any questions? There's like 400 comments. Let me see what else have we have got. Okay, this is a great one. Emma, is there any way to sculpt a body at home, or is the gym a must? No, we have some incredible home programs as part of all of our programs. And some of like our top 10 contestants who win tens of thousands of dollars, many of them work out from home. So I don't believe just because you're working out from home that you should work out any less hard. We teach you progressive overload. We teach you how to go to failure, how to maximize your workouts. We teach you how to use body weight exercises to really maximize your muscle building. One thing you'll never do though from home is build a huge set of quads. You can build really great glutes from home, but you'll never build big melon crusher thighs if that's a goal of yours, because you do need load for that. So some people train from home and then go to the gym for leg day, but that's not even necessary. If you just want to build nice, long, lean, toned legs, then you can absolutely do that from home. Absolutely no problem at all. What does 30 grams of protein look like? So if you're not vegan, then 30 grams of lean protein would be usually one piece of lean protein about this size, something that goes cluck cluck. We don't generally mention animal products around here. For vegans, it would be about 220 grams of seitan, homemade seitan. It would be 280 grams of tofu, would have about 30 grams of protein. Protein shakes as well are really good. We have tempeh, about 180 to 200 grams of tempeh would have 30 grams of protein. There's lots of non-vegan sources as well. Usually just one piece of non-vegan lean protein would have about 30 grams of protein, whether it's red or white. Just something like that. You just like breakfast becomes more like a dinner meal when you're eating 30 grams of protein. You can add a scoop of protein powder to your oatmeal. And actually, guys, we have a special offer for you on protein powder. We don't own the protein company, but we're affiliated with the Protein Works, and Laura has negotiated you an incredible buy one, get one free. So if you go to theproteinworks.com, or if you're in the USA, it's us.theproteinworks.com, then, and you put in SV buy one on the vegan wonder shake, SV for sculpted vegan, SV by O-N-E, one, then you will get you can get a buy one, get one free. So we have a buy one, get one free on protein powder at the minute, which we negotiated for you because we have such buying power with the Protein Works. So protein powder is a great supplement as well. There's no self-respecting bodybuilder does not use protein powder. What about green beans? Someone is asking. Yes, 100%. Green beans are a cruciferous vegetable. I love them. You can eat as much as you want. I love this question. So after we revise our diet plan, does this mean we can eat chocolate again? 100% yes, as long as you are eating consistently well 80% of the time, then you can eat whatever you want the other 20%. That is what I find, and that is what I teach in my programs. How to build arm muscle? You just train really heavy with the heaviest weights that you can. You need to train your upper body at least 3 days a week, and you just do that consistently over a period of time, and you will build arm muscle. Snacking, I very rarely snack because I don't need to. Whenever you eat the way that I teach on this program, there's no portion control. So you can, whenever all of your carb sources come from beans, lentils, and cruciferous vegetables, you can eat as much as you want and you will not put on body fat. But the other thing you will not feel is hungry in between meals. People feel hungry for snacks whenever they are bored or whenever they have a blood sugar drop. But whenever you eat the way that I teach on this program, you never have a blood sugar drop because your blood sugar stays very, very consistent. So you never feel the urge to snack. And whenever you feel hungry, it's time to eat again because it's mealtime. So like I had my lunch today at about 1:15. It's now 5:15. That's 4 hours later. I am not hungry at all. I'm supposed to go home now and have dinner with my family at 5:30. And I'm not hungry. Quite often I have to go home and eat dinner at 5:30 and I just eat because I want to eat with the family, but I'm genuinely not hungry. Whenever you eat the way I teach you, you don't get hungry. You don't have snacks because you don't need them. So you just eat enough at each meal. And then whenever you're hungry, it's time to eat again. So it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Oh, no, that wasn't it. No to fasting. That was one of my people. Yeah, no, we don't like fasting here. Fasting keeps the metabolism slow. You're trying to ramp up the metabolism to lose body fat. A slow metabolism protects body fat. A fast metabolism burns body fat. Fasting and intermittent fasting keeps your metabolism slow. There's no science behind intermittent fasting at all, other than the science of calorie restriction. You restrict what you eat within a 24-hour period, so you're usually eating less than you're burning off. That's the only science behind intermittent fasting. There is zero science behind it. But if it works for you, rock on. I'm never going to knock anything that works for somebody. But just know there is no science behind it. When we're starting to be beans until full rather than white starchy carbs. Yes, beans, and not just beans, because you might fart a lot, to be honest, and then you'll kill me. So try and fill up on cruciferous vegetables. As much broccoli as you can eat, as many green beans as you can eat, as much asparagus as you can eat. There's literally no portion control. Whenever you look, if you look at my plate, right, my plate of dinner each night, it is enormous in terms of the amount of vegetables I have on there. Like, I pile on the, I'm like, beans, broccoli, like asparagus, and my kids are like, Mom, that is obscene. But my plate is piled high with green vegetables and a piece of protein. And if I'm so hungry, I'll have some lentils or beans, but quite often I don't even need the lentils or beans because I'm eating so many green cruciferous vegetables. So whenever you eat this way, you can literally eat with no portion control. You can eat whatever you want and you never put on body fat. So many questions. You guys have, like, you're so keen. It's like, this is amazing. This is like so many people still wanting to know all of this information. What do you do about the gassy situation from beans and cruciferous? Right. You get used to it. Honestly, I never get gas from beans or lentils or cruciferous vegetables. Now, chickpeas give me gas. I don't know why. I've just started becoming slightly intolerant to chickpeas. So if I'm ever traveling, I don't have chickpeas. But with beans, what happens is your body builds a whole new microbiome over a period of time. And so it gets better. I would start off slow in the beginning, because here's what happens. Whenever you eat a lot of dairy or a lot of sugary foods, whenever you eat a lot of white starchy carbs, you actually create the bacteria in your gut that thrive on white starchy carbs. So those bacteria cry out for the white starchy carbs, and they feed on the white starchy carbs and they multiply. Now, whenever you change what you eat to cruciferous fibrous vegetables and beans and lentils, you don't have the bacteria in your gut to break those down. And so what happens is your body has to ferment those beans and lentils and cruciferous vegetables, which is what causes a lot of gas. But over time, whenever you eat more and more and more of these things, those bacteria start to multiply, and the ones that feed off the white starchy carbs start to die. Now, that doesn't mean that your body still can't break down white starchy carbs. It can, but it means that your body isn't crying, your gut isn't crying out for those things, isn't crying out for the sugar. And so over time, the gas gets less. That's what I find anyway. That's what consistently our people and our programs have found. Okay, guys, just a couple more. Someone's asking, is there any chance of having a chart of what foods to avoid? It's really easy, right? Avoid anything that is white, was white, or could be white. No cruciferous vegetables. No fruit. That's it. Is white, was white, or could be white. No fruit, no cruciferous vegetables? No root vegetables. So go on to Google and ask Google for a list of green cruciferous vegetables and use that list to eat from. Then ask Google for a list of beans, lentils, and legumes and use that list. And that's what you eat. And if you have to ask, is such and such allowed? It's probably not. Now, people say, are tomatoes allowed? Tomatoes are fruit. So in very small amounts, are tomatoes allowed? Yeah, I eat tomatoes. Are peas allowed? Well, unless you're going to like eat an entire kilo of peas, then yeah, I'm not going to take peas off you. Peas are allowed. So there always are a few little exceptions to the rule. But really, if you just try and follow the principles 80% of the time, you will notice a massive difference. A massive difference. Okay, guys, I'm like literally been talking now for a full hour and 20 minutes. So I think I'm going to have to finish because I've got another live in 1 hour and 40 minutes. So for those of you in VIP, you're my girls. Well, you're all my girls, actually. Everyone here is my girls. So the ones in VIP are not any more special. But we do have so much fun over in VIP, I have to tell you. So for those of you in VIP, I'm going to see you in 1 hour and 40 minutes. Be there or be square and bring all your questions and we can continue on with this discussion about nutrition. Anything you want to know, I'm an open book. You have me for another hour like you did last night. It's going to be so much fun. For those of you who have not joined VIP, who are now like, I think I want to be a VIP. We're going to post a link for you in the comments. My team are going to post where you can go and join. You can catch up on all of the recordings that you've missed. And you can also join recording tonight, or sorry, the live tonight, and me and Mark Getty tomorrow and for the rest of the week. It's going to be epic. And for those of you not in VIP and who don't intend to join VIP, thank you so much for being here. I will see you tomorrow, same time. Laura will see you at midday. I will see you at 4 p.m. Love you all so much. Thank you so much for showing up here and giving it your all, bringing your best selves to this challenge. I've loved teaching this material. I really hope that you choose to stay with us so we can help you finally be happy, have some joy in your life. No, I'm teasing, but hopefully we can finally help you achieve your goals, which actually does feel good and makes you happy. So yeah, see you all tomorrow, same time. Thank you so much to my coaching team for being here. I don't know who was here today, but all the girls in the office were here, and I'm sure there are others online. Really appreciate all of the effort you're putting in to help all of our members now and always. How amazing you all are, and I know you know how much I appreciate you, but it is just worth saying. So we round of applause for the coaching team. Just a wee round of applause. You're all amazing. Right, guys, see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for being here. Mwah. Love you and talk to you soon. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.